Time to talk some Duck softball, some Duck sports. Our guest does a tremendous job calling the games on the student station, KWVA. He's the sports director. You can follow on Twitter. Use the handle at JordanBrenner31. Jordan, great having you. How's life treating you these days?
It's great. Thanks for having me on, Steve. I'm a big fan of the show. Thanks for the complimentary words. You know, after softball season came to that abrupt end, I kind of figured, you know, I'd spend my last few weeks here as a student, maybe trying to soak in the graduation stuff, and I'll be taking my grad photos today, so keep them busy, that's for sure.
Cool. So a little personal background. I mean, you've got the 818 area code. Let the folks know where you hail from, and like you said, where you're at as far as pursuing your degree from the U of O School of Journalism.
That's right. Yeah, I'm from Encino, California, which is in the valley in Los Angeles. I am only a fan of the Lakers as a hometown team. So I know that that's probably controversial, but at least I'm not a Dodger fan. So that's good. Yeah, I'm double majoring, doing a little sports business. I misspoke. Majoring in journalism, minoring in sports business. So yeah, I've loved my time up here. I'm glad I decided to move up north to Eugene, and I've really enjoyed getting to know the community out here.
So with that big, bold statement that you're only a Lakers fan, so do you have an MLB or an NFL loyalty and maybe a college team prior to becoming a Duck?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a Nationals fan. It's a long story. I don't know if we have the time to get into that. I guess I'm a Rams fan, but it's not like I have a lot of allegiance to that team. I didn't exactly grow up with them in Los Angeles like my dad did, so he's kind of been able to adopt them since they've returned. I grew up a Cal Bears fan because my dad went to Cal, my sister went to Cal. There's a lot of family there, but those are kind of my teams. I'll tell you what, it's hard to get into UC Berkeley, so that's part of the reason why I didn't decide to go to Cal.
By the way, I think you have kind of a kinship there with Joey Mack, so that's a good thing.
Joey's a Bay Area guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking with Jordan Brenner, does a great job calling play-by-play for Duck Softball, a student radio station. And anybody who's done games, covered games, has to have a story, whether it was covering triple overtime. So years from now, when you're spinning tails at a barbecue, what are you going to tell folks about Sunday, May 23rd, Oregon and Texas?
It's pretty crazy. You get to talk to even student broadcasters who have been in the business for 1 or 2 years. Everybody already has a crazy story, and you're right. My last KWVA call, we were delayed 5 hours. Everybody's waiting in the press booth in Austin, Texas. People are wondering, hey, do I run out and go get some lunch? Well, then it turned into, well, do I go out and run to get some dinner? It was a long day. Game finally begins. Oregon's really loose. They just squeak out game one with a very emotional walk-off. And then that game two starts at like 11:15 p.m. We play into the morning out there in Austin, Texas. And I'll tell you what, Steve, that was just a really odd game all the way around. There were some hitters, especially on Texas. This is one thing that really stands out to me. Their leadoff hitter, her name is Janae Jefferson. She's an All-America type of talent. So, a hitter who is seriously nearing 500 with her average. Absolutely dominant. She had 4 strikeouts all season in close to 200 at-bats all year. After the third inning against Oregon in Game 2, she had 6 strikeouts for the entire season. So just a weird game into the wee hours of the morning. But you're right, absolutely a story that I'll be telling for many years after this.
Now, you've seen firsthand the departure of Mike White, and of course he took some terrific players with him, or they left. Then enter Melissa Lombardi, who had the first rough season her first year here. Then they were rolling when the pandemic hit last year. Now this year, third in the conference, almost got out of the Austin Regional. Following it close, how impressed should we be with how she and her people kind of got this program back on track pretty fast?
Yeah, I for one am very impressed. Now, there are people who will tell you, and I don't necessarily think they're crazy, that at one point this year, Oregon was number three in the polls, hosting on a Friday night against the defending national champion, UCLA Bruins. They were number two in the country, and Oregon took game one. So if you're measuring the season based on what the expectations were after that particular game, right, you think, oh, well, this is a team that probably should have got to a super regional, potentially could have made a run to the Women's College World Series. I tend to take a broader view. My only expectation for this particular group entering this season was that they perform better than they did in 2019. Check. That they get back to the postseason. Check. And that they seem to have a foundation and a direction for the program moving forward. And I absolutely do think that they still do. Another year of Brooke Yanez. A couple really young and promising right-handed pitchers in McKenna Clee-Thermis, and I think especially Reagan Breedlove. So as far as I'm concerned, fans should be thrilled with what they saw in 2021 from Duck softball.
Well, that was the next question I was going to ask you. You're a mind reader, because I was going to say, losing Haley Cruz, Samaria Diaz, but you look at Brito and you mention Clee-Thermis. I mean, I know you just kind of elaborated on it, but it looks like there's a lot of talent with the way that Coach Lombardi and her staff have recruited. I mean, you feel like they're almost picking up where they left off, you know, when Mike White left. Is that accurate?
No, no doubt about it. I think it's going to be a gradual rise. Look, the Pac-12 is extremely competitive. Yeah. There are a lot of programs who seem to be on the rise. Cal is a former superpower. They've been down for a few years, but it seems like they have the right coach. I think they're going to be coming along. Arizona, Washington, UCLA, those schools are always going to be there. ASU might be going through a transformation. So it's always going to be tough in the Pac-12. But looking in at Oregon, if you have Yanez going into a season, and Yanez, to me, is unequivocally the best left-handed pitcher in the Pac-12, and these Pac-12 hitters don't see lefties all that often, mind you, you're going to win a lot of ball games just from that. And as far as I'm concerned, I look at a pitcher like Reagan Breedlove, who comes from Lake Shasta. She's always dreamed of coming to Oregon. She comes to Oregon. Her first year has a sub-2 ERA.
Yeah.
Really emerges as the season progresses. She's fantastic. And I look at her, and I just think she can improve so much because she has things that don't grow on trees. She's pumping 71, 72 with ease, which you can't teach. And I think a lot like the early years, I think of Miranda Elish, where she was very reliant on one or two pitches. I think Breedlove is a lot like that. And if she can add one or two, even average pitches to her arsenal to help put away hitters, we're talking about a pitcher who I think has all-conference potential in the very near future.
Talking with Jordan Brenner, sports director for the U of O student radio station, KWVA. So you've been here enough. You've seen some great sports beyond what you just saw Sunday, a game behind the mic in person, an event you were at, be it Sabrina, a Rose Bowl winner. What are a couple of the favorite games that'll stick with you after you graduate?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think beating Team USA at Matthew Knight Arena for the women's basketball team. I don't think I was covering that game, but wow, that was a special moment. That's when it clicked for a lot of people that, hey, we're not just looking at one of the best college players, but we're actually looking at maybe a transcendent talent. That's pretty cool to be in person for that. And also, you're right, Justin Herbert rising to the Rose Bowl is so special. You know, some of the former sports directors at KWVA, it's almost like it's a little bit of a fraternity. There's communication between the current directors and the people who have done it in the past. It was always really cool that Justin Herbert was even the starting quarterback at Oregon, but to see him rise and to have the student radio station having called his high school games at Sheldon High School, and then to be to have sports directors on the call for his Rose Bowl win in Pasadena, and now to see him as the next great quarterback in the NFL. That's also really cool. But I'll also add that some of my favorite memories as sports director aren't those massive marquee star, marquee moment type of games, but actually some of the NAIA stuff I've done. I saw a kid from Multnomah University one night. He was feeling it. He maybe had an energy drink before the game, but he comes out, he scores 71 points.
Whoa!
It was a thrill to call the Thurston Colts high school team in 5A beat, what was it, Churchill High School in a crazy overtime 59-58 thriller with onside kicks and interceptions. And so those are also the moments that I'll remember long after I'm done as sports director at KWVA.
Yeah, awesome experiences. I want to get to women's basketball. And, you know, we know they lost the three historic players plus Mignon Moore, injuries, youth. Yet there they were and made the Sweet 16. We know that Aaron Boley and Lydia Giomi graduated. There's some outgoing transfers. But if you look at the incoming talent with Prince, Sabali, the freshman, what did you make of them making a run to the Sweet 16 and, I guess, throw in your level of optimism of what they might look like this coming season?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic, Steve. You know, I think in a lot of ways it was just a year that Kelly Graves proved himself. Sure, he's able to win ball games with transcendent talents, and of course, you know, he's a master of the media. People love him out here, and of course they should, but what I noticed from Kelly Graves last year to go into the tournament and to say, okay, we're not going to be able to play Kelly Graves spread out, beautiful offensive basketball. We're actually going to mess it up. We're going to pretend that we're playing in the 1980s NBA, and we're going to do it that way. I thought that was pretty awesome to see that, and I think it's a lot like what Dana Altman can do, right? Dana Altman's all about the jigsaw puzzle, getting the right pieces, doing it in different ways. So that was really impressive for Kelly Graves. Now, if you look to next year and you're getting a leap from Tahina Pau-Pau, who didn't even get to play in the NCAA tournament, that's huge. Sedona Prince really emerged after she got healthy, especially on the defensive end, averaged 3 blocks per game in the tournament. And then Niara Sabali, right, if you can surround her with shooters and force 2 bodies on her, you're either getting an open shot or an easy 2 inside every single time. I think there's a lot of reason to get excited about Oregon women's basketball and the direction of the program.
No question about it. The last thought, get to the men's side. You feel like every season is written on a whiteboard, then after the final game you erase it. There's always so much turnover. Obviously, you got to replace an all-everything guy. Chris Duarte, Figueroa's gone. Omarui's gone. Hopefully, Dante heals. Will Richardson, Kepnong. So when you think about who's coming back, plus the 5-star Nathan Biddle, and some what look like some really good transfers, how sunny you think the outlook is for the Oregon men 2021-22?
Well, I just don't see any reason to doubt Dana Altman at this point. It feels like the floor is a Sweet 16. And, you know, one of Oregon's problems, especially exposed in that USC game where the season ended, Oregon couldn't do it on the interior. Well, get another year of Kepnong under your belt. Maybe Enfali Dante can finally figure it out and get healthy. I saw Nate Biddle play at Thurston High School when he was maybe a freshman or a sophomore coming from, I think it was Crater High School in Southern Oregon. This guy comes into the gym. He looks like Kristaps Porzingis next to a bunch of fifth graders. It was pretty crazy. And he's bombing threes. He's inside. He's rebounding. He's blocking shots. He's going to be a really special talent as well. But also, I think Oregon's going to bring something really unique to the table next year, right? They're bringing in that transfer from Oklahoma. I think his name is Devion Harmon.
Yep.
He's a quirky lefty. And he brings something to the table that Oregon didn't really have last year, which is a guard who can get to his spots inside and is really just willing to get crushed and take the contact. I mean, that is a really interesting combination to have with Will Richardson, the double lefty backcourt. You don't see that every day, and I think they complement each other quite well. So I like the individual pieces, which maybe I didn't even say last year, and Dane Altman's still the head coach. So, of course, I think Duck basketball should be just fine heading into the future.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Folks, he's Jordan Brenner, keeping alive the great tradition of sports directors at KWVA. Follow him on Twitter at JordanBrenner31. Jordan, congrats on all the great work you've done at KWVA. Kudos on graduating with a double major. Appreciate you finding some time for us today. So thanks again. Keep in touch and definitely let me know what you're up to.
Absolutely, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Have a great weekend.